What's happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined by A'Sherrod Blakely. We're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents. Any size, that's 99 good reasons to switch. What's up, big fella?
How you doing?
Good. You know, you would think this is like the dog days of the summer. Nothing
Not
going
in the NBA.
On. Summer league's over. You know, you think of maybe some quiet times. Think about this, A'Sherrod. The last few late July, August for the Celtics. Last year.
Explosive.
Kyrie Irving being traded. This year, finally coming to terms with Marcus Smart. We're going to talk about that. I know you're going to also have a chance to catch up with Gordon Hayward one-on-one, so stick around for that interview. But let's dive right into this Marcus Smart stuff. 4 years, $52 million. I'm good with that deal. $13 million. I thought, you know, that might be on the high end, like at the edge of where the Celtics might go. Ultimately, though, when we look back at this, I think it's going to be a good deal for both sides.
It's going to be a good deal because the impact on their salary cap is going to steadily decrease over time as the cap rises. So, you know, for folks who are a little, you know, uncomfortable seeing that $13 million next to Marcus Smart's name per year, keep in mind that it's not going to have as big an impact on them financially going forward. But listen, Marcus, that's basically the range in which the Celtics prepared to put together an offer for Marcus Smart. It's very similar to what they put on the table before the season started, which is kind of ironic that we basically made a NASCAR move on this thing where the point that we started is the point that we basically finished. And for Marcus, I understand why you do that, because if you did not go through the process, you would have been playing a what-if game if you'd have just signed that deal for $13 million back in October and September. Especially when you look at some of the guys like, you know, Exum getting 3 years left, $33 million, you know, and Zach LaVine got that fat offer sheet, that Chicago match. And so for Marcus, this was a good experience. But I think Marcus, he's going to be a better person because of this, because one of the things that, you know, as we kind of went through this whole thing, I kept hearing Jermaine Jackson. Don't take it personal. Take the bitter with the sweet. Easy come, easy go. And Marcus, I think when all said and done, that's what it really had to come down to, because he seemed like he was taking it personal. At least the people in his camp were putting it out there that he was taking it personal. Whereas the Celtics, it was, you know.
But you know, A'Sherrod, you know, the best way to get over your feelings is to look at that paycheck.
Well, they gave him $52 million reasons.
Exactly. He's
going to
get over that pretty quickly, dude, once he starts getting them checks rolling in.
For sure.
You know, people will say, well, the guy can't shoot. You know, he's not a three-point shooter. This deal shows me how much the Celtics value him.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, maybe the market wasn't out there, but they did right by him with this kind of deal. If I'm them, you know, if I'm both sides, I'm walking away happy.
Yeah, because the Celtics, they really could have put the squeeze to him.
Big time.
And it would have got very awkward and very uncomfortable. But had they done that, they would have been going against really what has been one of their tenets throughout this whole process, not just with Marcus, but just in general. They pay guys what their fair market value is. They don't try to, you know, cheat. They don't try to go under that. They don't try to go over that. They want to give guys contracts that are relatively close to what they would be getting on a free and open market. And for Marcus, $13 million is really, I think that's the ceiling.
Maybe
even a little bit above the ceiling for him. Just because, you know, the last couple of weeks, just talking with different scouts and executives who actually have to marinate over this type of stuff, they all felt Marcus was anywhere from 10 to $12 million, and 13 maybe, but they knew in order to get him from Boston, you had to go 15.
Right.
And they just, at the
Nobody
end of the day, they just didn't want
to
do that. And so that, for Marcus, you know, it's a good deal. It gets him what he, I think, on an open market would be getting anyway. And for the Celtics, you know, again, you have another guy from the band as you try to put it together and try to make another run at Banner 18.
Yeah, I know you get to talk to Gordon Hayward tonight, and I know you're going to ask him about Marcus Smart. We'll have that interview for you coming up in just a little bit. But what does this do, I guess, for the Celtics? You know, let me flip it, actually. If Smart's not on this team, and I know you got Hayward and Kyrie and you got all these stars and everything, but what he gives this team, no one else on the team can give them. I think he's going to prove his value.
When you talk to different guys on the team, you talk to coaches on the team, they talk a lot about Marcus Smart, not what he does defensively, but what he does for his presence for the rest of the team. He is seen as the glue guy, the guy that connects everything. Brad wanted this team to have a defensive foundation, and much respect to Al Horford, much respect to Aaron Baines, but it's Marcus Smart's defense that really sets the table for this team and frankly galvanizes them to have that type of mindset. And when you have a player like that who can impact the game the way he can without necessarily giving you kind of what I like to call the sexy analytic numbers, you know, field goal,
effective field goal percentage, and all that stuff.
Marcus wins point blank. He makes plays more nice than not that help you win games. And that is what he's being paid for. He's not being paid to get you 12, 14 points a game. Yeah. He's not paid to shoot 40%. He's paid to find ways to help your team win.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of winning, I think we both agree the Celtics are the favorites in the Eastern Conference.
It's not Orlando Magic.
It's not Orlando. But is it the Toronto Raptors?
No.
They made a big move.
No.
Shipping DeMar out, but getting Kawhi Leonard. And don't sleep on Danny Green. I actually like that move from a Raptors standpoint. I'll love the move if they actually get Kawhi to re-sign and he's the same Kawhi Leonard. But it's a gamble that, you know, the more I think about it, you know what? If you're trying to be a title contender, and I love DeMar DeRozan. That's my guy. But he wasn't, you know, playoff time, he wasn't getting it done. Kawhi gets it done in the postseason.
This is where the rubber meets the road. I respect, you know, the Raptors for making this bold move because the way they look at it, and I think this is for them, you have to be at one of the extremes in the NBA. You either have to be among the elite or you have to be absolute rock bottom. Because if you're rock bottom, you can build yourself up because you'll be in a favorable position to get young talent. And if you're at the top, obviously you're right where you want to be. Kawhi gives them the potential to move up the ladder quickly. If he can get back to being the guy before he got hurt. And that's a big if because of not only because of his injury, but because of where his head's at.
Right.
I mean, Toronto is not a destination of choice for him, which to me, that's going to change quickly. I think he's going to figure out real quick that T-Dot is
the
spot.
I know you love Toronto, man.
Listen, they might as well put me on the visitor and bureauism.
Convention bureau.
Because I'm all about T-Dot. That is a great city, great people. I can't recall ever having a bad time when I've been in Toronto. On business and pleasure. So I'm all about Toronto.
I'm with you on that. But, you know, there's this narrative that the Raptors did DeMar dirty. Telling him, you know, we're not going to trade you. And then, you know, a week or so later, he's being
shipped
out.
First of all, DeMar should have never believed them when they said they're not going to trade you. Because DeMar, as much as he's done for that organization, and I get it, all-time leading scorer and all-time this, that, and the other, it's a business, yeah. DeMar. I mean, he should know that better than anybody. He's seen good teammates bounce. He's seen guys come in, you know, trying to get paid. Serge Ibaka, yep, talking about you. And you got to understand, you haven't gotten it done.
Right.
And even with LeBron bouncing to the West, that doesn't change the fact that you didn't get it done. And you're supposed to be the face of the franchise, the best player. His situation is very similar in a lot of ways to what Isaiah Thomas went through. And that's why Isaiah Thomas, much respect to IT for putting out there about
IT
loyalty.
IT always got to chime in on
putting
something.
Out there about loyalty in the league. It is what it is. Shake my head and all that. And he's right. I mean, listen, I respect the fact that these GMs are loyal to their franchises. They understand that at the end of the day, players come and go, this franchise was going to remain. And I got to do what's best for them over everything else. Danny Ainge has been on that blueprint from day one. Loved Avery Bradley to death. I got to get some money to make sure Gordon gets paid. Bye-bye, AB. You know, I loved IT. Great story. I mean, your heart goes out to IT.
But you got Kyrie.
But Kyrie's available. IT, bye-bye. Jay Crowder, bye-bye. That's what you do.
That's what you do. Does this make the Raptors a better team? I think so. If Kawhi's Kawhi, this makes them a better team.
See, that's the problem with this deal, though, Draves. I mean, we got to put qualifiers on Toronto.
We don't know yet, though. We got to wait and see, too.
But, Draves, the qualifiers we got to put on them are different than most qualifiers. Like, usually, well, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen. But We don't know how, where his health is. We don't know whether he's going to be, you know, a pouty little. I'm not even going to say the word.
We got kids that listen to this.
You know, little kitty action there. But my issue with him more than anything else is the coach. Nick Nurse is a rook.
Yeah.
You go through his resume. Wait, let me finish my thought.
Kawhi ain't no coach killer or anything like that, though.
Well, first of all, the only coach he's had is Greg Popovich.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to kill Pops no matter what you do. That's the old – that's the – listen, if he would have had a lesser coach with lesser pedigree and all that, I'm not sure they would have survived this. Popovich, that's Teflon. That's the Teflon Don of the NBA. You're not going to break him. Nick Nurse, when you look at his resume, a lot of D-League action. So he is a guy – clearly his focus has been about developing guys.
Yeah.
You don't need to develop this one.
Right.
How are you going to deal with an already ready to roll, you know, Maybach when you're used to getting under the hood to fix that fort?
And that's why
make it
I think
running.
Dwayne Casey would have been a perfect coach for Toronto.
Right.
They
and that's why, and that's why Dwayne. I'm going to tell you right now, when Detroit plays Toronto, look for Toronto. Or excuse me, look for Detroit to smash them. Kawhi is going to be frustrated because he's going to be thinking, man. They only 4 hours away, and they smashed us. Yeah, and they got big drum and can't make free throws? They crushing us. Dwayne Casey is going to bring his playoff first round against everyone but Cleveland game. And that is nice.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. All right, so Kawhi's in Toronto. DeMar's in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics still the favorite in the East, though, even with Kawhi up there.
Yep.
Just making sure. I'm making sure I got you on record.
Because Philly – Indiana, Toronto, to me, they're all in that middle class. They're right after them. Philly's the closest, I think, to the Celtics just because I like their young talent. I think guys have to grow. They need like a Markelle Fultz to emerge as a guy that can knock down some shots.
Yeah.
They're going to be good. And Joel Embiid, I like to see him more on a block than on the perimeter because I think on a block he's an absolute animal.
Yeah.
That is just, you know. But your boy Simmons –
What about him?
I'm not even – listen.
Don't hate on Ben Simmons.
I'm just going to keep it honest and real.
Keep it honest and real.
I would like to see him make a shot outside of 13 feet.
I agree, but he did dominate during the regular season and the first round of the playoffs without having to do that.
And then he ran up against Mook, and then Mook shook him all series.
So, no doubt that's an area of development for him and growth, but let's not act like he's going to be a bust if he doesn't develop it, you know, in November.
Drakes.
I mean, if he plays the same exact game,
they will finish the same way, get bounced in the second round.
Come on, man.
They need Drapes. For someone to have the ball in their hands
but
as
Sherrod,
much as he does.
But Sherrod, it was his first playoff experience. Cut the man some slack,
I
dude.
Am. That's why I'm saying
you
if
understand.
He comes back. We're talking about if
their
he comes
leader,
back the same way
no,
next
he's going
year.
To be better just because of experience, having gone through it before.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think he should be better, but I'm not sold on him being better because here's the thing that bothers me more than anything about Benson. It's the one thing that I'm never, ever going to let go of until he makes me force to be let go. Take shots. Take a shot outside of 13 feet. I don't care if you make it or not.
No, you sound like the haters of Shaq. All he does is dunk. That's all he has to do.
Drapes. You cannot compare his ability to get in the lane and make layups with Shaq's ability to dunk, draw fouls, and just completely put your entire front court out of the game by the third quarter. Ben Simmons is not that dude. He is a great player. I am not hating on his game. I think he's a very, very good player. But I don't think it's a whole lot to ask of a 21-year-old guy in the NBA to make a shot outside of 13 feet. Drapes, we ain't talking about being freaking Ray Allen. Hell, I sell for Allen Ray right now because Allen Ray can make a 13-footer.
Allen
Ray can make a
13
to 15-footer.
He's digging in the crates there.
That's what I want. I want him to be Allen Ray offensively. Make a shot outside of 13, 14 feet. That's not asking a lot, Drapes.
All right, man. Coming up, we're going to talk about Carmelo Anthony, too.
I'm fired up now.
I know. I like that. Let's see if you're fired up with Gordon Hayward. I know you had a chance to catch up and talk to him one-on-one. Let's hear Sherrod's interview with Gordon.
We're here with Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics. And Gordon, We know you're a big-time gamer. What is it like having an opportunity like this to partake in something like Black Ops 4 Preview and your work with Xfinity?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a one-of-a-kind experience to be able to play with Call of Duty before everyone else, a franchise that's been around since I can remember, growing up playing games like this. And really, really happy with the partnership with Xfinity. I know that they're a partner of the Celtics, and so now I'm get to team up them, on the gaming side as well.
And for you, I mean, this is what I understand, maybe the beginning of a longer partnership with them. What are some of the other things that you can maybe talk about that you're going to be involved with Xfinity, if you can?
We do have some fun, exciting things that we're going to do. I can't give you guys any insight just yet,
Gordon.
Just yet, but look for it. It'll be exciting.
And your teammates, I mean, you guys are all relatively young. Now, are you the best gamer on the squad? And if you are, who's the stiffest competition?
I'm pretty confident I'm the best gamer. I play a lot of games on PC, though. Everyone else I call casual gamers. They play on consoles. But I do know that Shemmy's pretty good. Nader was pretty good. Just about everyone these days plays some sort of video games. We're all, a little bit younger generation, but none of them play on PC. They can't handle me on PC.
You with the injury last season, you had a lot of time to just really recover and also play some games. For you, how much did that help just the recovery process to maybe kind of take your mind off of, the rehab process?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was somewhere to get away. The hardest part about rehab and recovering from a major injury is the mental side of it. I mean, trying not to get too far inside your head, have too many dark thoughts, that can spiral out of control. So to be able to, go play video games at the same time, hang out with friends while you're playing and play with some teammates, it was very welcoming for me and allowed me to get some sleep at night sometimes.
And speaking of rehab, I don't see a boot. I don't see any of the other contraptions that you've had this year. Where are you now health-wise?
I'm just about full speed. I mean, I'm hopefully going to be playing 5-on-5 in August. And as with everything, kind of see how my ankle reacts to that. I haven't been able to push it that much in like a reactive setting. So, we'll go and test it out and see where it is. But I'm very confident. It feels a lot better after the second surgery. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to get back out on the court.
Was there any anxiousness or nervousness when you realized that you're going to have another procedure?
Everything happened so fast. Like, literally, I did a test, and the next 5 minutes, he's like, we should probably get the plate out. We're going to do surgery. Scheduled it for, later that night. So, I mean, it was fast. I had no time to think about it.
Well, and that was a good thing, I would imagine, for you not to have any.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And then after that surgery, my ankle felt tons better immediately afterwards. And so, then I could kind of just set my sights and move forward.
And speaking of moving forward, the Celtics getting Marcus Smart back in the fold. I mean, you haven't played a lot with him, but you've played against him. You went through training camp with him. What does it mean to have that guy back in the loop?
I mean, it's we're running it back. We got just about everybody back, and that's really exciting for me because I had a front row seat to all the games and got a chance to be around the guys, just didn't get a chance to be on the court. So for me to be able to play, with them next year, Marcus Smart brings so much stuff to the table for us. He's a winner, and so it'll be fun to play with all those guys next year.
And when you look at, you talk about next year, you're coming back. Kyrie's going to be back. Marcus is now back in the fold. You got Baines re-signed as well. You got the entire band back together.
Yeah.
And LeBron's nowhere in the East. How different are the expectations from within right now, knowing that the path, on paper at least, it looks a little bit smoother for you guys to take that next step?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to try to win the whole thing. That's where our goal is. That's where our goal should be. I think that we have the talent to do it. I think for us, it's hopefully we keep everybody healthy. For me, I'm going to be focusing on training camp and just getting through that first practice because it's been so long for me to even be out there on the court. But very excited about where we can go next year.
And for you, are there any matchups that when you look at the schedule that you know will be out soon that kind of jump out at you that you're looking forward to getting back in the fray with?
Man, for me, like I said, man, just everybody. It seems like it's been forever since I've played, and the NBA has shifted again with guys going to different places, and everybody, man. I'm excited to play everybody.
And when you talk about guys shifting places, obviously one of the few West coming to the East players of significance is Mr. Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. How do you see that team playing now? And specifically, Kawhi Leonard, a guy that you've gone against many times when you were out in Utah. Talk a little about what he's going to be to that Toronto team and in the Eastern Conference.
Well, we were all waiting to see what was going to happen with that. That's been a wild story, but he's going to make them a better team. I think they lose a guy in DeMar who's extremely talented and a problem offensively, and they get another guy in Kawhi who's really talented too. So they're going to be a little bit different. There's other teams in the East too that I think will take steps, and with you know more experience, some of the younger teams I think will be a lot better. So it's still going to be a competitive East. Everyone's kind of riding the East off, but you know I think it'll be a tough East.
Tough East, but good for the Celtics.
We're looking forward to it, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, Sherrod, great stuff with Gordon Hayward. How long do you think it's going to take him, though, really, to get back to, you know, is he going to start from day one? Are they going to bring him in slowly? I mean, those are some questions, you know, Brad's going to have to figure out.
I think the biggest challenge for Gordon is being patient with himself and not rushing, not so much himself back on the floor, but just rushing his game back to where it was. I think it's going to be tough for him to do that because he's going to look around. He's going to see the same thing we do. Damn, I knew Kyrie was good, but damn, he's really good.
He's really
good. Damn, Tatum. He getting them shots that I thought I was going to be getting. Right. Oh, man. Marcus Smart got paid. So Marcus, he probably going to look the jacket shot or two more than he normally do. And damn, T. Rose, where did he come from? I thought it was all about Kyrie at the point. We got... All right, y'all. I wonder how he's going to process all that once he actually gets in training camp, gets on the floor, starts working out with those guys. The one thing, I'll say this, in conversation with guys who have had extended injuries, I've talked to Chauncey Billups about that. I talked to Reggie Jackson about that. The one thing those guys talked to me about was how when you come back, the game is even slower than it was when you played. Mm. And so everything kind of – you have to – your timing is off because everything is so much slower now because you've had so much time to watch the game, break it down, dissect it, think about what you can do, how you can impact the game, how you can be the difference maker that you want to be. And your body is healthier, and so your body is, like, ready to roll out there and just go hard. But sometimes going hard ain't going to be effective. And I think Gordon, he has to figure out that happy medium between getting back into the flow of things but without rushing his body back into
and,
you know,
and he has
to
realize you're not winning a championship in October or November.
Well, that's easy for you and me to say. He's probably been on, he's been on the shelf for
damn near
a year.
He's
looking at you like, what?
Take your time, young fella. Take your time. All right, let's go out west. OKC finally moving Carmelo Anthony to the Atlanta Hawks, who are going to buy him out. Just your thoughts on that deal.
Well, I think it works for both of them. I mean, OKC saves a ton of money. And didn't have to stretch him out to do so, which I think is just phenomenal. Presti is already the front runner for Executive of the Year, being able to get Paul George to resign, where everybody and their mama say, he ain't going to stay in OKC. He don't want to play with Russell Westbrook. And yet, there they were on the night when he's going to make
a party.
Having a party. Get lit. And then you've got Carmelo getting rid of him, getting from underneath that contract, not having to stretch him out, and you've added some players that I think are interesting. I think Schroeder is going to be a nice number three option. Because when you think about the impact that Westbrook has on every game he steps foot on, the fact that Paul George is, you know, he's just a great number two, you need another guy who can go get buckets every now and then. Yeah. And that's where Schroeder, you know, Dennis comes into play. And I don't think Dennis is going to come in expecting that he's going to be running the show.
Right. He got to know better.
He's going to understand real quick that I need to defer to the two all-stars and just trying to get in where I fit in, because after those two, there's a whole lot of real estate. And you got Steven Adams, but Adams is just cleaning up the glass.
Yeah.
And he gave him a touch every now and then. So it's going to be a good situation for him. I think OKC, I think they're solidifying themselves as the third best team, maybe even the second best team out west. Because, listen, Houston, until they sign Capella, I'm going to give them a side eye.
So you don't think that – you think it's going to get done with Capella, though, right?
I think it's going to get done. But until it gets done, I'm going to continue to give Houston a side eye.
You could give him a side eye, but you still got to put him second.
If they get Capella back, they will be
They're
second.
About to sign Carmelo because Carmelo is going to be there. And I know. Now, what are your thoughts on Carmelo? Because you're conflicted, big fella.
No.
Carmelo brought a title to Syracuse.
And we thank
they,
him.
They should
every
name a building after him down
Hell,
there,
we,
right? They
listen,
got that
we,
building down
listen,
there.
Listen, the, Carmelo's got his stuff in Syracuse. He's good. he has no worries about that. But let's be real. Carmelo is on the decline. Carmelo was never a great defender, and now he's really not a great defender. He's so far.
Man, you guys, hey, put some respect on that man's name. He's a Hall of Famer, Sherrod.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. And when he goes in the Hall of Fame, I'm going to be there with my pomp, my orange and blue pom-poms, cheering him on. Yeah. But I got to keep it real, Drapes. He's not a good defender, and he's joining a team that, for them, the perimeter losses that they've suffered this offseason, losing to Ariza, which I think is going to be way bigger than they make out to be, they have to reinvent themselves. They can't be who they were last year. They have to find a way to still be successful, and I think they will, but they got to do it differently. And defense is probably not going to be the way because they're going to have some guys that are legit liabilities defensively. They don't have a glue guy like Ariza to bring all that together. That, was to me, was the one of the more underappreciated aspects of their team last year was the Ariza. Impact that Ariza made. Because I think Ariza, his impact defensively on the perimeter was awesome, and that complemented what Capella was able to do down low. I mean, Capella was everybody's blink binky. Yeah. I mean, you beat James Harden off the dribble, you
Capella's
think you got to live. Capella's
and they're going to sign Capella, dude. They're
they
gonna,
should.
They, I mean, you don't give Chris Paul $160 million and then don't take care of Clint Capella.
Well, we're going to find
we'll
out.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
All right, man. Let's wrap up this Celtics Talk podcast. Shout out to Gordon Hayward for chatting with my man, A'Sherrod Blakely. Make sure you subscribe to this Celtics Talk podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. You can also subscribe to Anything Is Potable. It's our podcast on the 2008 Celtics. It's this summer. It's going to be great. We re-look back at the 2008 championship team and that great season that it was. For A'Sherrod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. We'll see you next time.